On behalf of the minister, Kirk Session of the church, we do give you a warm welcome to our service this morning. Many of you know Mr. Smiley's on 2 weeks' holiday, and so we're glad this morning to have Dr. William McCrae as our preacher, and no doubt he'll be singing to us for the services today in the morning and in the evening. And we're glad as well to welcome Mrs. McCrae, who has joined him in the service. So we give them both a warm welcome. To others that are visiting, we do extend that same warm welcome to you, and we do trust that the Lord will bless our time together. We see the Reverend Nelson and his wife in the meeting this morning. We do welcome them in the Saviour's name. And to our own members, we do welcome you. I admitted last Sunday morning, and I apologise for that. We're glad to see your sister Margaret Marshall back with us. She was here last Sunday. I omitted to acknowledge that fact. We're glad to see you back, Margaret, after your illness, and we do welcome you back to the service this morning. Do remember the services today, the morning service, obviously. The evening service, Dr. McCrae will be back as preacher and soloist. The prayer meeting before the evening service up in the youth room from 6:20 to 6:45. Do come and do plan to attend the time of prayer before the service, please. As you leave today, the baskets are at the doors, both the hall and the two fire exits here that are used for the Missionary Council offering. And we do ask that you will give. The baskets are clearly marked for our own offering, our own church offering, and for the Missionary Council offering. Do remember that work in the Missionary Council, please, and give as the Lord has blessed you. Tuesday night in our church hall is our prayer meeting. And this Tuesday night it is the deputation meeting of Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church. And the Reverend David Smith will be along on Tuesday night to speak at that meeting and to bring the presentation. There will be a special missionary offering lifted for that work. So do come prepared and give again to this work and support it in that manner that you can. Next Lord's Day, 11:30 a.m., 7 p.m., the preacher at both services will be Mr. Jonathan Story, who's a third-year student for the ministry currently in the Whitfield College of the Bible. The prayer meetings again, 6:20 to 6:45 in the youth room upstairs. So do remember that. We do remember those that are sick in our own congregation. Those that need our prayers are Brother Jim McGackie. He's not well in hospital. We bring him to you. Our sister Dorothy Garrett got home this week. So do remember Dorothy as she recuperates from home. And Mary McFadden as she continues day by day to go to the hospital for the ongoing treatment that she is going through. I do trust that you will remember those and others that prefer maybe not to be named publicly, that you will remember them in your prayers at this time. Just a little announcement for a couple of weeks ahead. It is the intention to commence the planned recommencement of the Sunday school on Sunday the 2nd of May. That's the first Sunday in May, and initially we'll be starting off just with an open Sunday school, so we would encourage the parents to get the children out again and to the Sunday school planned for the first Sunday in May, please. As you're aware, Mr. Smiley is on holiday, and the Reverend Samuel Murray is on call to cover any emergencies during that time. Just one other thing, just do remember the health restrictions on entering and leaving the building. We're now familiar with them. We ask you to follow them, please, as they do now come in under church insurance regulations. So as you're guided, the people in the front, if they exit here, the side gallery, exit these two doors, the people at the back downstairs and on the back gallery, please go out the way you did come in. We do appreciate your assistance in these matters. And just finally, we have received a letter from the Government and Morals Committee of the Free Presbyterian Church. I want to read it to you, and I ask you to listen, please, to it. Our land is facing an onslaught on biblical morality at the present. There has been the imposition of abortion over the head of the devolved assembly and government in the latest move. The Secretary of State is seeking to commission abortion services. Once again, he is overruling the devolution settlement. Then there is a danger to the gospel posed by some of those who advocate a ban on conversion therapy. And also there is a bill going through the Dublin Parliament to legalise euthanasia with provisions to cover everyone living on the island. In the light of these and many other things, but with particular regard to abortion, the Government and Morals Committee, in consultation with the officers of Presbytery, are calling a morning of prayer via Zoom on the Saturday, that's this coming Saturday, the 24th of April, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. This is open to all members of our congregations. Many have been expressing concern over these matters, and this is the best way to do something practical. We ask those who wish to take part to register on the Free Presbyterian Facebook page and so that log on details can be sent to them. But Mr. Smiley has already put those details on the church WhatsApp site to enable you to register. We ask you to join us and pray for the intervention of God in our land, Jeremiah 33, verse 3. And I would exhort our own congregation and our members to join in that season of prayer for 2 hours. Take the time to join in and plead, seek God's face regarding these issues that have been brought before us. These are all the announcements. We do give Dr. McCrae a very warm welcome. We trust that he'll feel at home here in Ballygowan in the pulpit today. We look forward to his ministry, and we pray, brother, that the Lord will bless you even today. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. It's certainly a joy and a privilege to be here, and we pray that God will bless our coming together as we sing together and worship the Lord and seek God's face around his precious word. We're going to worship the Lord in the singing of the hymn, 633, "There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Saviour above." Remain seated while we sing the words of this hymn, and let's worship God together, please.
Thank you.
stand for a word of prayer. Let's change our positions and bow our heads before the Lord and seek God's face at the throne of grace in prayer. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee that we can gather in Thy house today to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank Thee for the liberty we have to come. And O God, our Father, we thank Thee for the doors of Thy house being open again for the preaching and heralding forth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that our God, that by Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou wilt, Lord, to speak to our hearts. Thou knowest every individual that has come to Thy house today. Thou knowest every individual need. Thou, God, seest me, and Thou knowest me altogether. And Thou knowest each and every one of us have needs. But we thank Thee, our God, that Thy word reminds us that we can come to Thee because my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We pray for Thy servant and this Thy house and his dear wife. We pray that Thou will bless them, that Thou will go before them, that Thou will help them this time of vacation. Lord, we ask of Thee that Thou will, Lord, just presence Thyself with them day by day, that they might know the strengthening power and grace that Thou hast promised for Thy people. We pray for our nation. We pray for our Queen. We pray for the royal family at this time of their bereavement. We ask of Thee in Jesus' name that Thou wilt, our God, bring them the comfort that they need. But most of all, turn their eyes to the Savior, that they might find in Him that comfort, that peace that only Jesus Christ can bring through faith and trust in His redeeming blood. We thank Thee for the sacrifice of Thy Son. We thank Thee for the cross work. We thank Thee for the finished work. We thank Thee that Jesus paid it all, and all to Him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but the blood of Jesus washed us white as snow. And so we pray today that Thou wilt, Lord, take of Thy word and write Thy word upon our hearts. And may we know something of that Emmaus Road experience. Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us by the way and while He opened unto us the Scriptures? O God, have Thy way in this Thy house today. Cover us in the precious blood and fill me with Thy Holy Spirit power for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the Father, Lord, I'm just clay. Mold me and after Thy will, while I'm waiting, heal there and still. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Oh,
We're going to sing another hymn at this time, and it's the words of that hymn 641. And certainly it is a cry of our hearts, revive thy work, O Lord, thy mighty arm make bare. Speak with a voice that wakes the dead and make the people hear. And we'll once again remain seated while we sing together, please. For a wee word of prayer, and then we come to the reading of God's precious word. But first of all, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we read thy precious word, that thou wilt, Lord, just speak to our hearts through it. We pray that thou wilt take of thy word today, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that thou wilt, Lord, just apply it personally to each individual that's gathered in this thy house. Remember thy children. We pray that our God, that thou wilt stir us up again in these days, and revive thy work, O Lord, thy mighty arm make bare. Oh, how much we need it today. We ask of thee that thou wilt come and stir the preacher's heart. And, O God, remember all our ministers in the pulpits today. We pray that thou wilt give them the liberty of the Holy Ghost, that as they speak the word, that they might, Lord, be a blessing even to others, and then their souls might be blessed indeed as they preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And so we pray this in Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. I want us to open our Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Chronicles and the chapter number 7. When I heard that our brother mentioning that welcoming our brother Nelson, one of the theological professors. Certainly, I'm saying he'd probably be starting marking at the end of it. But nevertheless, just pray that God will give us liberty and forget about that. And just look to the Lord for his blessing as we open the scriptures together. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now when Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Oh, that that would happen today. The glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how that the fire came down and that the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves and their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And no matter what we're facing, just remember that fact. Remember those words, "For he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." And maybe some people are going through difficult circumstances today, maybe trials and maybe situations perhaps you didn't expect to be going through. But friend, no matter what it is, remember this. Never get your eyes off this fact. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. And when David praised by his, their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings, and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And on the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel and to his people. Thank God we should never forget that. Never forget it. He sent them away because they were glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had shown unto David. And look back over your life, friend, and surely God has been good to you, and God has blessed you again and again and again. Thus Solomon finished, verse 11, finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, "I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." We'll end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible truth for his name's sake. Amen. I'm sure you and I can agree today that as we look across our nation and we look across our own land, that we have been going through difficult times. And as a nation, many people have gone and faced difficulties physically because their bodies have been bearing the scars of the COVID and also many other things. Also mentally, because there are many people today depressed and they're downcast and they wonder, is this ever going to end or what will the new norm be? All of these things are pressing upon them in their minds. And then, of course, economically, whenever we think of how that we're facing challenging times, and perhaps many people are finding it hard to face financial circumstances that they're going to have to cope with. As our brother already mentioned concerning the Morals Committee of the Free Church, the nation is also facing a challenge morally, because morally our nation is bankrupt and has turned away from God and from the standards of God's precious and God's holy word. And then spiritually, sad to say that there's a great falling away today. Many of God's people have not only lost heart, but indeed have lost out with God. And perhaps they have missed the fellowship, and because of that, they just do not see God's day as they used to see it. And that's something for us to pray about. And we need that God's people need to remember to get back again to the house of the Lord. And when the Lord's house is open, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now we have to be responsible and bear the necessary the restrictions that we have. But friend, it's good to come to the house of God to worship Him. Yes, we're living in serious and solemn times. But you know, the reality is this. It is very possible that so many people have not caught the seriousness of the hour in which we live. We've been so caught up with ourselves, looking after me and mine, that we forget that God has called us, those who are saved this morning, because we're here to serve Him. Man's chief end is to glorify God, enjoy Him forever. And so therefore we need to realize that we're here to witness and be a witness for Him, and to serve Him with all our hearts. You know, we're living in the last days. I believe that with all my heart. And many people say to you, well, you know, whenever you look at the scriptures of God's truth and they turn you over to the book of 2 Timothy and they said, yes, what does the word of God say? This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and all of the verses that are mentioned. Yes, friend, that's true. That's what it does say. Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then when you turn to the chapter 4 of that same book, Paul is writing to Timothy and he says this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned on to fables. And you say, well, that's it. That's exactly what's happening in this our land today and in our nation. Men and women are turning away from the truth of God's word. But friend, listen. Read the next verse. In verse number 5 of that chapter 4, it says this, But watch thou. Yes, these things are to happen. These things are a reality. And yes, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away from the truth. But what do we do? What is our responsibility in the midst? Do we go with the flow? Do we lose heart? Do we say, well, listen, we're living in the last days. Nothing's going to happen. God can't send us revival. God can't move. Yes, God did it in days that are past, but God can't do it again. My friend, it says, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make foolproof of thy ministry. There's not an excuse for God's people to sit back and do nothing, because all of these things are a reality in the last days. No, friend, God has commanded us that we get up, that we get going for God and stand in the gap for God's truth. You know, people globally say, yes, we need revival. we need revival. And yet whenever they say that, somehow they say it just upon their lips, but there's no burden upon their hearts. The psalmist said in Psalm 44, "We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what thou didst do in their day." And friend, whenever we look back and we read the history of days that are past in this province of ours, what God did in their day, and we ask the question, can God do it again? What does the Word of God say? Jesus Christ, the same. What? Yesterday? What about today? What about forever? Has God changed? No. He says, "I am the Lord, and I change not." So where's the problem today? Where is the problem amongst the people of God today? You know, whenever we look back in the history of the free church, it's just 70 years, and we look back over these years and we think of what God did in days that were past. I think of the days of the moving of the Spirit of God, and I think of the days whenever people were flocking to God's house. There was an excitement among God's people. My, you couldn't stop them coming to God's house. They wanted to be there. They wanted to be among the people of God. And yet today, not because of restrictions, but many of God's people lost that real love, that real zeal, that real hunger, that real thirst of getting to the Lord's house and spending time in God's presence and before Him. Yes, God can do it today. And God can send revival, but there's a price that you and I have to pay. It's not only you, it's you and I. And each one of us, as the people of God, have to pay. Now here we find in this second book of Chronicles, in chapter number 7, we find indeed that Solomon here is at the dedication of the temple. And Solomon provided all the things for God's house that ensured that it exhibited all the splendor and all the beauty that bore testimony and witness to the majesty and the glory of God. Then he erected a special platform in the midst of the court, in which he stood before the altar of the Lord, and he spread out his hands before heaven. And then he did something else. He fell on his knees before the congregation. And he prayed. You can read about that in chapter 6. He fell on his knees. Here's the king, the mighty Solomon. And he falls on his knees before God. And he cries out unto God for God's intervention. Chapter 6 verse 13. It says, "And he kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel. And spread forth his hands before God." And friend, that's where the answer is. As we fall on our knees before God and cry out unto God for His mighty intervention. And then in chapter 7 verse 1 it says, "When Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." You know, the glory of the Lord was so majestic. It says in verse number 2 of chapter 7, the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Oh, that we this day would sense the sweetness and the solemnity of the presence of God in His house. You know, whenever I hear people speaking about God, about the man upstairs, makes me cringe. Because there's no fear of God. There's no awe of the majestic, sovereign, holy God of heaven. Remember it says in Isaiah, they veiled their faces and they cried, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Then we find that whenever, verse number 11, Solomon finished the house, the Bible tells us then that he sent the people home. And they made their way home, and they were glad as they made their way home, as they thought upon the goodness of God. And friend, as I said already this morning, I don't know what you're going through I don't know what you had faced in the week that's passed. I don't know what you're facing today and what you're going to face this week. But what I do know is this, that God's goodness endureth forever. God is good. Surely God is good to Israel. And God's people can look back over their lives as we think of the day and the moments of our salvation. How good God was to stop us in our tracks going to hell and showing us our great need of salvation. Yes, God not only has been good, God is good. God was good to Israel, and they went home pondering about the goodness of God, not only to Israel, but to David, to Solomon, right to that very present moment. And God's been good to you today. Listen, God's been good. God give you the ability to come to God's house today. There are people who would love to be here, but they can't make it to God's house. But my dear friends, God has blessed you in so many different ways. Count your many blessings. Stop complaining. You know the sad reality about the children of Israel? Notice the times in the book of Acts, they murmured. They murmured against God. After all that God did for them. After all that God gave to them. Oh, after all that God was to them. And yet they murmured against God. Whenever they felt they didn't get what they just wanted, at the time they wanted it. And they murmured against God. Here we find, after he had sent the people away, he says this, in verse number 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. And he said unto him, Solomon, I've heard your prayer. I've heard your prayer. And God says, I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. God says, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or I send pestilence among the people. God says, if I bring judgment. Why would God send pestilence? Why would God send the locusts to devour the land? Why would God stop the heaven from giving rain? God says, if I do that, friend, that spoke of God's judgment upon the land. And I fear that God is judging our nation for its sin of godlessness. Turned us back on God, a land that once the Queen of England said the secret of England's greatness was the open Bible. And yet across the nation today, the Bible's shut. Closed. And those that stand in the pulpit no longer turn to the Word of God anymore, but go through a ritual. And then we wonder why. God, why would you shut up the heavens? No rain. Why would you send the locusts? Why would you send pestilence among the people? God says, if I do that, God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and shall pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. And God says, forgive their sin, will heal their land. Why does God do it, friend? Notice what it says. I would forgive their sin. And that's the why. Because they had sinned against the Lord. I know fools make a mock at sin. Quite often the pulpits minimize it. But in the sight of God, sin's an awful thing. It was for our sin that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left heaven's glory and went to the cross of Calvary and shed His precious blood, that our sins, which are many, might be blotted out, never to be remembered against us anymore. God says, I'll forgive their sin. Because that's the problem. Sin's the problem, friend. Christ's the answer. I want us to notice here what this verse tells us. If my people, which are called by my name, here's the people first of all. My people called by my name. I wonder, child of God, do you remember just exactly who you are today? You're not your own. The Word of God reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter, you're not your own. Many of God's people today don't like a preacher standing in the pulpit and preaching the Word of God and telling what God demands and commands for our lives. And say, but listen, I can make up my own decision. I decide what to do. No, my friend, if you have yielded your heart to Jesus Christ, acknowledged Him as your Lord and your Savior, you're not your own to do whatever you like. You're bought with a price. If my people, you belong to Him. You belong to Him. Never forget that. You profess to belong to Jesus Christ. You are a saved people. Happy art thou, O Israel, people saved by the Lord. You are not only a saved people, you are a special people. You are precious in the sight of the Lord. You are to live a separated people. In a special relationship with God. As it says in Deuteronomy, in the chapter number 33 of Deuteronomy, it says, O Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 33, and the verse number 29, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. You're a special people. And God has set His electing love upon you. But because you are His, you must obey Him. Romans chapter 12, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. In other words, God's child is to not let the world squeeze them into their mold. Be not conformed to this world. Child of God, you are not to be like the worldling. You are not to talk like them. You are not to walk like them. You are not to be like them. You are the Lord's child. You're not to be conformed to this world. You are distinctive. There is a doctrine in God's Word that many people have forgotten today, even among the people of God. It's the doctrine of separation unto the Lord. What does that mean in this day in which we live, friend? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, this verse used to be quoted over and over again in our free churches. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, go to verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? We're talking about fellowship here. What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Mark that, friend. Ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. God's people are to live. We're in the world. Listen, we can't divorce ourselves from this world. The Lord Jesus didn't say, Lord, I'm praying that you take them out of the world. No! He said, Lord, I want you to keep them from the evil. I want them to be a light in a dark place. I want them to shine for me. Friend, is that what your life's telling the world today? As the world looks on to you and to me, does the world see Jesus in me? Do they see Jesus in the things that I do and what I say? It's a challenge to all of our hearts. God tells us we're not to touch the unclean thing. And we live a day in a day, friends, spiritually speaking, it's dark. And there's a great darkness over the nation. And God is calling his people to separate unto himself. That's not isolate and forget that anyone else is around you. No, friend. Because God's people are to let their light shine in a dark place. If my people, which are called by name, notice the word if. See, that's the secret. If my people. In actual fact, if you go on down the chapter, look at verse number 17. And he says this to Solomon. He says, as for thee, Solomon, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt obey my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom. Verse 19, but if you turn away, there's the second if. He says, if you walk before me, in accordance to my word, and you honor me. He says, Solomon, listen. He said, I will bless you and I'll establish their throne and thy kingdom. But he says, if ye turn away. Verse 20. Then will I pluck them up by the roots out of the land which I have given them. See the solemn responsibility that we have, friend? If. And it's only if. There's no quick fix for Ulster, friend. And there's no easy answer as far as God's people are concerned in this day. If my people. The Bible said, Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. But he says that the salt has lost its savour. Have we lost our savour? Do you remember whenever the sons of the prophets and Elisha went out and they crossed Jordan and they were felling the trees? And as the young man lifted to fell the tree, he lifted the axe. You know what happened, friend? The axe head fell off. And he cried to the man of God. The man of God asked him, where did it fall? See, the axe head, listen, having just the handle in your hand was never going to fell a tree. He needed the axe head for the power. And friend, you and I will never do a work for God except we have the power of the Holy Ghost. But has the axe head fallen? And if it has, do you know where it fell? But thank God, it was given back again. And God can do it. If my people, here's the preparation. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves. Here's the problem, friend. First of all, pride. Pride. Shall humble themselves. In the book of Revelation, in the chapter 3, writing to the church at Laodicea, we're told in verse number 17, because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And thou dost not know that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blinded and naked. God says, I counsel you. Friend, today, has pride entered in? I remember whenever we started in the Free Church, and you say, well, listen, don't go back. I don't hate these people that always talk. I remember the time. Young people, when they hear you saying that there, you can just see their eyes rolling their heads. Oh, here he goes again. But friend, it's good to remember. I remember the time whenever we had just our missions and tents that even leaked. Remember the time we had only little wooden huts and tent huts. That's what we started in. But you know, there was something special. God blessed us. We lengthened our cords, we strengthened our stakes. And rightly so, we have built the houses to the glory and the honor of God. But friend, let me tell you, sometimes we can get so comfortable that we forget what we're here for. We're here to serve Him. And pride has entered in. We used to be that little despised people. But now in some ways we're accepted. There's danger there. Shall humble themselves. I haven't time. But you read the book of Proverbs and you read about how that God hates pride and what pride does. Proverbs 6 verses 16 and 17. Proverbs 8 verse 13. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. Proverbs 16 and verse 5 and verses 18 and 19. All about pride. 1 Peter tells us, humble yourselves. The problem? Pride. And then it says, and pray and seek my face. Here's the second problem. Prayerlessness. I heard it said, if you want to know how popular a church is, come to their morning meeting. If you want to know how popular the minister is, come to the evening meeting. And if you want to know how popular God is, come to the prayer meeting. And friend, which is the Cinderella service of them all? That many of God's people don't bother about anymore. The place of prayer. If my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Leonard Ravenhill said, I remember him preaching because my mother was saved through Reverend Leonard Ravenhill. In a little hall beside our home, I was sitting beside her the night as a little boy. My mum gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ. And he said this, the church is dying on its feet because it's not living on its knees. D.L. Moody said, every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. John Wesley said, God does nothing but by prayer and everything with it. Seek my face. Pray. Time's away this morning. But notice the next problem. And turn from their wicked ways. Pollution. Sin in the hearts of God's people.
What does God command of us, friend? He said this, be ye holy. Even as I am holy. We need to get back. We need to get back to it because it says here, turn from their wicked ways. There's repentance. And God's calling us back. Revelation chapter 2. And once again, it's one of the letters that's written. And there to the church at Ephesus, and this is what God says. Revelation 2 verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And then he says, remember, therefore, like the axe head, friend, remember where it fell. Stop today. Think carefully. Where did you fall? And then God says, repent. And do your first works. And thank God we have a promise as I finish. Then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And God says, I will heal their land. Ask you a question. Do you want to see Ulster healed? How much of a burden have you for that? Well, if you do, then God's given us the pathway. For God says, then will I heal their land. May God do it for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. It's a challenge to our hearts, Lord, and we confess today that we have fallen far short of Thy glory. Lord, there's not one of us can stand today and say that we haven't sinned against Thee in thought, word, and deed. But Lord, we thank Thee for the power of the precious blood. Thy word says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But help us to repent today. Help us to turn from our wicked ways. So that God just heal our land. Forgive their sin. Heal the land. Do it for Jesus' sake. Amen.